Phillips, who joined us for the morning service of the Pineville Grace Fellowship. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you with us. And we're going to also be going over to TalkShoe to joining the TalkShoe platform. Take me a minute to get tuned into that one. Running a couple minutes behind this morning, so bear with us. We're going to have Mark read some scripture, then we're going to sing some hymns. And we'll go over the other part of our service this morning. Brother Carl Roberts has already joined us. Good morning, Brother Carl. How are you?
Hey, Brother Larry. Hey, Brother Mark Phillips, Sister Rosette. How are you guys doing this morning?
Well, we're here. we're not leaping any tall buildings or anything, you know, with a single bound, but we're here. We're glad to have you here as well. Looks like Brother Mark just joined us. Good morning, Brother Mark.
Good morning. Good morning. How are we doing today?
Yeah, we're doing. We're here. We're going to have Mark read some scripture. Mark Phillips read a couple scriptures, or his scripture, and then we're going to sing a couple hymns. We're running a little bit behind, but not far enough behind that it can be a real issue. I want to welcome aboard all of our guests that are joining us, Pao Rajah, Panjiti, Thomas Edward Morgan, Pius Acaro, and the rest of those that I can't see on the screen. I'm going to turn the camera around so you can see Mark and Rosette. Okay, Mark.
Yeah. Lamentations 7 through 12, first chapter 1. Jerusalem remembered in the days for affliction and for miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old when her people fell into the hand of the enemy, and none did help her. The adversaries saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. Jerusalem hath previously sinned, therefore she has removed all that honored her, despise her because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembered not her last end, therefore she came down wonderfully. She had no comfort, O Lord. Behold my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. The adversary hath spread out his hand upon all her pleasant things. For she hath seen that the heathen entered into her sanctuary, whom thou didst command that they should not enter into thy congregation. All her people sigh, and they seek bread. They have given their pleasant things for me to relieve the soul. See, O Lord, and consider, for I have become vile. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger.
Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. And the first song we're going to sing, of course, we sing out of the old school hymnal. And the first one we're going to sing is The Great Physician. That's on page 209.
The great physician now is here, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. Your many sins are all forgiven. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Go on your way in peace to them, and wear a crown with Jesus. All glory to the dying Lamb, I now believe in Jesus. I love the blessed Savior's name, I love the name of Jesus. His name dispels my guilt and fear, no other name but Jesus. Oh, how my soul delights to hear the charming name of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus.
Okay, we're going to sing number 342, Whispering Hope. We do have a hope, a blessed hope.
Soft as the voice of an angel, breathing a lesson unheard. Oh, the gentle persuasion, whispers her comforting word. Wait till the darkness is over. Wait till my tempest is done. Come for the sunshine tomorrow, after the shower is gone. Whispering hope, oh how welcome thou wilt, making my heart in its sorrow rejoice. If in the dusk of the twilight, then be the reason that far, will not the deepening darkness brighten that glimmering star. Then when the night is upon us, why should the heart sink away? When the darkness is over, watch for the breaking of day. Hope is an anchor so steadfast, rends the dark veil for the soul. When the Master has entered, robbing the grave of its gold, come only, come glad fruition, come to my sad weary heart. Come, thou blessed hope of glory, never depart. Whispering hope, oh how well I feel my voice, making my heart in sorrow rejoice.
Okay, we're going to sing a psalm, Psalm 2. Page 2, Psalm 2.
Why do the heathen rage? Why do people folly mine? Kings of earth in plots engage, rivers are inly combined. Then against the Lord high, and against with silent sway, let us break their bands, they cry, let us cast their cords away. Let the Lord will scorn them all, he will laugh who sits on high. In his wrath will on them fall, sword is placed, he will reply, yet according to my will, I have sent my king to reign, and on Zion's holy hill, my anointed I maintain. His decree I will make known, unto me the Lord did say, thou art my beloved son, I've begotten thee this day. Ask of me and thee I'll make, perish your earth and nations all, then with fire thou shalt break, dashing them in pieces small. Therefore, kings, be wise, give ear, hearken, judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with godly fear, mingle trembling with your mirth. Kiss the sun, his wrath to turn, lest he perish in the way, for his anger soon will burn. Blessed are all that on him stay.
Well, glad to have everyone with us this morning. And know that God has his remnant of people that gather around his word. And this morning, I have had this scripture on my mind for some time. I've talked about it before, and I want to talk about it again. I want our brothers to give their thoughts on it as well. This is in the 9th chapter of Daniel, the 9th chapter of Daniel. Before we get into reading it, I'd just like to make a few comments about the subject of prayer. You know, there's really a misunderstanding regarding prayer in our society. You know, a lot of people have an idea that prayer is like petitioning God, you know, and some of the charismatic people almost try to order God around. I demand in the name of Jesus you do that, or I demand you be healed in Jesus' name and all that, blah, blah, blah. It's the furthest thing from biblical prayer. A lot of people say to me, well, you believe in the sovereignty of God, so why pray? If God's sovereign, why pray? Well, we pray because we're commanded to pray. That's why we do it.
Amen.
By the way, prayer is to cause, prayer is a vehicle that causes our hearts to turn to God, not the other way around. Okay?
Amen.
There's a song out there that says, I think John Wesley wrote it, you know, my God is reconciled, his pardoning voice I hear. He owns me as his child, I can no longer fear. Well, the problem is, we're reconciled to God, okay, because of the work of Christ on the cross. That's the reconciliation. So again, people get that backwards. In the 9th chapter of Daniel here just really opens this door to what biblical prayer is all about. I think Brother Mark and I have even done a study on this before, but I want to read through this again. Now, the other question that I think all of our questions, well, maybe not all of our questions, but a lot of our questions will be answered regarding the nature of prayer, the purpose of prayer, the proper mode of prayer will be answered in this chapter of Daniel. So what I'd like to do, we're looking at 27 verses. So I'm going to have Brother Mark read the first 14 verses of chapter 9, and then we'll each of us will make a comment on that, and then we'll have Brother Carl read 15 through the end of the chapter. So I'll turn it over to Brother Mark.
Okay, good morning, Brother Larry and Rosette and Mark. And good morning, Brother Carl. God bless you.
And good morning, Babs, too. I don't want to leave her out.
Yes, and good morning, Babs. And good morning, and God bless to all of our saints listening in wherever you may be. May God meet you at the point of your need. Okay, we're in the Authorized King James Version, and we're in chapter 9 of Daniel, verse 1 to 14. Okay, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the verse 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Verse 3, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Verse 4, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Verse 5, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Verse 6, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the peoples of the land. Verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Verse 10, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Verse 11, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Verse 12, and he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. Verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Verse 14, therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice.
Thank you, Mark. This is actually a preparation for the actual prayer that we're going to see in the latter part of this chapter, beginning with the next verse. But one of the things that I get when I read this ninth chapter of Daniel is that it wasn't Daniel's prayer just for for the people that he was in leadership. It was a prayer for himself.
Mm-hmm.
It was a prayer for himself. You know, that should be our attitude, each one of our attitudes. Anyone who thinks that they are not in need of prayer is in dire straits. Okay.
Amen.
And by the way, notice in verse 3, Daniel says, I set my face unto the Lord God. He didn't say we, he said I.
That's
I
right.
Set my face to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth. I prayed unto the Lord, my God, and made my confession. Said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Notice he includes himself in we have sinned. He did not exclude himself. There's a lot of ministers out there have the attitude that, you know, again, this little cult mentality that they are above sin, and the underlings, all the people that come under their little feet are the sinners, and so therefore they're going to pray for the sinners. No, no.
Right.
We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. He says, we have sinned and committed iniquity, have done wickedly, and have rebelled. That includes every one of God's people. And if you try to tell me that you are, you have received a definite second work of grace and you no longer sin, then you're in absolute violation of what Scripture says, because Scripture says if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us.
There it is.
And so he goes on and he says, we have not hearken unto the servants, the prophets. And so he said, notice the contradistinction, notice the comparison that he sets before the people and before the righteousness of God in verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces.
Mm-hmm.
That's imputed righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Our only righteousness is in the Lord. Our only righteousness is in him. We have no righteousness in and of ourselves.
Amen.
For to us belongeth confusion of faces, to our princes and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord, our God, belongs mercies and forgiveness. I'm glad that even though Daniel recognizes how the people and himself had sinned, he also recognized that his Lord was a merciful and forgiving God. Amen? I'm sure glad about that.
Amen.
He says that all of Israel have transgressed thy law. Again, we talked about who is Israel. Well, Israel is all of those who have been chosen and elected and blood-bought by God. That's Israel. That includes both Jew and Gentile. All of Israel have transgressed thy law. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us. Well, when we shake our fists in the face of the Word of God, regardless of what it's about, whether it's about the wonderful doctrine he has taught regarding predestination, election, whether it's about his creation, whether it's about the way he created the universe, whatever we do, when we rebel against his word, there are consequences. There are consequences. Verse 14, therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. You know, it's like you cannot mix the righteousness, the perfect righteousness of God with evil. They don't mix. They're like oil and water. They don't mix.
That's
and
right.
Here we find God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obey not his voice. So this is a really good foundation for bringing us to a position of where we recognize our constant need to cry out to our Abba Father for mercy and grace, confess our sins to him. And he says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And by the way, he's the one that causes us to cry out to him. It's not anything in of ourselves. Repentance doesn't come from the man. Okay, repentance comes from God himself. So I'm going to have Brother Mark making his comments about these first 14 verses, and then we'll turn it over to Brother Carl.
Thank you, Brother. Yes, that's very good about Daniel, who he was praying for, and verse 3 and 4 make that very clear that Daniel was praying for himself, yes, by the phrase, I set my face unto the Lord God, in verse 3, and then in verse 4 he says, and I prayed unto the Lord my God. Now, another thing, in verse 7 and 8, caught my attention, that term or the phrase confusion of faces. That's very interesting. To me, that speaks about identity and who people think they are in this world. And it's very interesting how people in the world confuse their identity with what they do. You know, oh, I'm an accountant, I'm a bookkeeper, I'm a doctor, whatever. But we are not to be deceived that way, because our identity is in Christ. And so when you recognize that your identity is in Christ and that you are the church is not a place to go, but it's your identity in Christ, then we will not have confusion of faces. But sometimes even Christians can get swept up into that. For a season, the
yes.
Lord will get us out of it. If we are the Lord's, he will bring us back to him. Thank God. So that's a couple of the things I've seen. And yes, in verse 14, the Lord's works are righteous. And when people don't seek his faith, then he sends chastisements upon them. Upon his people, not the unregenerate of the world, but his people, he's going to bring us back. He's not going to let us go. And I'm so glad of that, because if it was up to me, I would have wandered away and not come back long, long ago. So I'm so glad of that fact.
Yeah, absolutely. What I think I'm going to do, because I don't want to, I want to stay on our focus today of prayer. So after Brother Carl makes his remarks on these first 14 verses, I think I'm going to have Brother Carl just read from 15 down through 24. I think we'll stop at 24 because I don't want to get into eschatology today. Okay, that's not the purpose of this discussion. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of prophetic utterances about what constitutes the 70 weeks of Daniel. I don't want to get into that right now. But, Brother Carl, if you could make comments about 1 through 14 and then read for us verses 15 down through verses 24.
Okay. Well, good morning, Brother Mark Kennedy. How are you?
Wonderful. God bless you, my brother, and good morning, Babs. God bless you.
All righty. Let's see here. Well, as Brother Larry mentioned a few moments ago, in 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 in the King James Version only, we're told, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And in the opening verses here of the 9th chapter of Daniel, we see the work of grace that the Holy Spirit has done in a sinner's life. And true prayer to God, it must be granted to us by his Spirit. We can't pray of our own selves. We must be taught how to pray as we grow in grace. And here we see what true prayer is. And it is, and what characterizes it at the very beginning is the confession of sin. Is us admitting by the grace of God that we are sinners perfectly deserving of the wrath of God, and that it abides on us.
Amen.
Here we're told in verse 5, we have sinned, and we committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from the precepts, from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. In verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. Yeah, we're taught here, as we're taught all through Scripture, that righteousness and salvation is of the Lord. This righteousness that Daniel is referring to here that belongs unto thee is the righteousness that is spoken of in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. And this is the righteousness of God. The very righteousness of God himself, the triune Jehovah, that we are made through the substitutionary atonement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is totally his righteousness. Like Jonah confesses at the end of his prayer, at the end of Jonah chapter 2, I think it is, salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
In verse 11, let's see here. In verse 11, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Yes, he goes on to say here in verse 13 and 14, in verse 14, therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obey not his voice. Here is, I just see the picture. I just see the sinner, the thief, being crucified by Christ. And he, and that's just the experience of a believer. We take sides. We are, being taught of the Lord, we take sides with God against ourselves. And we confess our sin and we declare, by his grace, like Daniel has declared here, that whatever the Lord does, whether he damns us to hell or saves us by calling us to faith in his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he's perfectly righteous in doing whichever he chooses to do. And this is what we call bowing the knee. Jesus Christ is king. You don't give a king a try. You are conquered and you are ruled by one. And here is a perfect example in verse 14 of that, is knowing, being taught of the Lord, that he is righteous in whatever he chooses to do. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works, which he doeth, for we obey not his voice. And, being taught of God, we know that we are creatures. We are our faith at best is unfaithfulness. I mean, if it wasn't for the good Lord keeping us, it's like Brother Mark said a few minutes ago. If the Lord doesn't keep his hands on us, I mean, we will stray every time. And, salvation is of the Lord. And I guess that's really about it for me. You said read verses 15 through 24?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Starting with verse 15, Daniel chapter 9, the King James Version, the authorized King James Version only. Verse 15, and now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to shew thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy.
Wow, what a prayer given to Daniel by God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just there's so much in these few verses. You know, first of all, Daniel recognizes what the Almighty God has done for his people in bringing them out of the land of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every one of God's people can recognize that that's what he's done for us. He's brought us out of Egypt. We no longer have any desire to be in bondage to Egypt. And he has
right.
given us freedom. He's broken the chains of bondage. And we say now, come out from the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean things. And we're in the world, but we're not in Egypt. Okay, we're not in Egypt. We're not comfortable there. And so he recognizes that the Lord has brought us out of Egypt. And he notices again, he says it's according to all of his righteousness. Nothing to do with anything that we have done. It's all of his righteousness. And he beseeches the Lord. And he says, he asked him to cause his face to shine upon his sanctuary. And he asked God to incline his ear, to open his eyes to their desolation. Well, that should be our prayer, that God would, you know, I think there's another scripture that says that he remembereth that we are dust. Well, he's the one that took the dust of the earth and formed us out of the clay of the earth.
Amen.
He's the one that breathed into us and man became a living soul.
Mm-hmm.
19, he says, for thine own sake. In other words, don't do it for anything other than to glorify yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That should be our act. That's what the Lord's Prayer is all about. Thy will be done in
mm-hmm.
earth as it is. Thy will be done, not our will. Thy will be done. And he says, while in the midst of all this praying and confessing of his, notice he said again, my sin and the sin of the people. He personalizes it
mm-hmm.
there again. And he says, presenting my supplications before the Lord my God. Yet while I was speaking, I love that.
mm-hmm.
While he was yet speaking. I mean, talk about a quick answer to prayer, right? Sometimes
mm-hmm.
we pray and we seem, it seems as though, you know, God's not listening. But let me tell you something. You're pouring out your heart to God. God is most certainly listening because he's the one that has caused you to pour your heart out to him.
Amen.
But while this was yet going on, yet while he was yet speaking, Gabriel came and touched him. And Gabriel said, Gabriel actually talked with Daniel. And Gabriel told Daniel, I'm come forth now to give you understanding and skill. And what a wonderful message from Gabriel when he says in verse 23 to Daniel, I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What a comfort that must have been to Daniel. What a comfort
yes.
that must have been. Well, notice the purpose of what Daniel is telling him. A lot of people get mixed up here in this 24th verse, and I'm not going to get into this, but the purpose, okay, that Jesus Christ, the everlasting Father, his purpose is to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. That's the purpose. And you know what? That purpose was completed, you know, from the foundation of the world in a covenant between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and manifested in time at the cross when Christ said it's finished. But this is exactly the purpose, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. And, of course, to anoint the most holy, that being Jesus Christ. So that's sort of my comments on the 15 through 24. Brother Mark, what are your thoughts?
Oh, thank you, Brother Larry. In 17 to 20 here, Daniel is such a wonderful example of godly supplication, and it's a model for us. And I love it here in verse 20, he confesses his sin and the sin of his people. I love it. Or no, 21, yeah. Yea, wells, I was speaking in prayer, even the man. Oh, wait, I got it wrong. Yes, in verse 20, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Wait a minute. Where was it? Oh, yes, earlier in that verse. He confesses his sin and the sin of his people in verse 20. So in these few verses, Daniel is such a wonderful example of godly supplication, and it should be our desire as his people, as the people of the Lord's pasture, to emulate that godly example of supplication. That's wonderful. That is my thought at this moment.
And Brother Carl?
Yes, you know, what a great picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ here, picture in the prophet Daniel. You know, interceding, you know, on behalf of his elect. In verse 15 here, I'm just reminded of what the Lord's done for all of us and how he's pulled us out of sin and death and bondage, slavery. You know, we were slaves of sin. You know, we were in bondage, and this is perfectly pictured in Egypt. Verse 15, and now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and hast gotten thee renown at this day. We have sinned. We have done wickedly. And what a picture of salvation this is. And the Lord has saved us by his hand, by his righteousness, by his work of salvation that he has performed from before the foundation of the world. Not a thing that we've done, but rather in spite of the horrible things that we have done. Because what we do is sin, you know, mm-hmm. And what a wonderful example here of that, of salvation, you know, is pictured, you know, in sin being the land of Egypt. I've always just found that fascinating. Let's see here. again, in verse 16, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness. You know, here we again acknowledge being taught of God by his grace that it's his righteousness that we are blessed with.
Amen.
And there is none of us, you know, we're told in Scripture, there is none good. No, not one. There's none that seek after God. You know, I thought Brother Larry and Brother Mark's done a really great job this morning exegeting these passages, but I'm going to just move on down to verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. In John chapter 19, verse 30, we read, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Yes, and here is a picture of here is the finished work of Jesus Christ in making an end of sin on behalf of his elect. Here is the fulfillment of the prophecy that was given in the third chapter of Genesis. And I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and he shall bruise his heel. This is the prophecy of the Messiah, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all these men, all these patriarchs that God preserved, you know, we're told that without faith it is impossible to please God. And this faith is a gift that God has given his elect. And these patriarchs in the Old Testament scripture, Abraham and Noah and Daniel here, they glimpsed the glory of God, which is Christ crucified. You know, they had a picture of it. It's no wonder why in the Psalms, you know, in the book of Psalms, I mean, all these songs that King David had written to where he is describing, I mean, how else would, you know, these men are, it's almost like he's at the crucifixion, describing the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. It's so miraculous. And, you know, being taught of God, all his elect, we know that salvation is of the Lord, that it's his righteousness that he's given us through his finished work on the cursed tree. And I could probably keep going, but I think I'll just stop there. It's just so, it just never ceases to, it's just so wondrous what he's done for us all in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Very well, brother.
Yeah.
Very.
That was a blessing, Brother Mark and Brother Carl. Both of you guys have really, the Lord's been with you this morning and just further reinforcing the Holy Writ to us. And I'm thankful that God has given both of you brothers the gift of being able to describe in detail the wonderful works of God. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to talk about these things and realize that apart from grace, we would be of all men most miserable. But
amen.
Because of, you know, I love this 23rd verse. I love it. Gabriel says to Daniel, I know I'm repeating myself, but it says to Daniel, I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Well, I believe that one of the things that Gabriel was sent to show Daniel was that he was greatly beloved.
That's awesome.
That was one. And, amen. You know, God reveals to us that we are beloved, you know. I remember one time having a conversation with Richard Bennett, and this will stick with me. Richard Bennett is a former Catholic priest that came out of Rome and was miraculously saved by God, and he attributes 1st and 2nd chapter of Ephesians that was one of the vehicles that God used to reveal himself to Richard Bennett, which, mm-hmm. I mean, what a and two chapters to reveal your, you know, that Ephesians 1 and 2 is a marvelous passage. But I remember I was talking to Richard Bennett on the phone and how he revealed something to me that was precious, and that was that he had such a distorted view of the church being in Roman Catholicism and the popery and the priestcraft and the confessions and all of that stuff, and how God had shown him the absolute evil of it. And he said, I was seeking the Lord in prayer. I was reading through scriptures, and all of a sudden, he said, it just was like an overwhelming presence of the Lord that came upon him. And he said the Holy Spirit revealed to him that, look, Richard, I'm your Abba Father.
Yep.
I'm your Abba Father. You know, all of this, you know, and scripture tells us, call no man father upon the earth. And here he had been a priest, and he said, I got so sick and tired of hearing all these confessions over and over and over and over. And he said, after he was born again, he said, I had to stop immediately. I could not hear any more confessions. And if you hear Bennett's story about how he just escaped with his very life out of, I mean, he actually took flight out of where he was. And he finally made it, in several steps, he finally made it to the United States. But, I mean, his life was in jeopardy. You know, here he'd been a priest of Rome for 22 years, but he said, the thing that really stuck with me and what Brother Richard said was, Larry, he said, if you ever get downhearted, or you ever get discouraged, or you ever question why things are happening, he said, just cry out, Abba Father. You know,
amen.
Just cry out, Abba Father. That is wonderful to realize that we are beloved. This is what is revealed by Gabriel to Daniel here. I am come forth to give thee skill and understanding, but he said, I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. So, I hope this has been a blessing. I know it's been a blessing listening to my brothers in Christ this morning on this. It's been an encouragement to me and edifying, and I want to thank them. And I want to thank again all of the people that have been on Facebook as well. And I want to recognize Andre Barros and Pia Sacaro and Kennedy Manaya, the rest of those who will listen later on. Anyway, we're getting a little bit of a questionable signal this morning, so. But I want to remind everybody we will be on again this evening at our regular scheduled time at 6:00. And then also we will be having a talk show tomorrow night with Brother Ed on this study and research he's done on the subject of rewards. I think it will be very interesting. And Brother Mark and Brother Carl, I'm hoping that you will be with us as well. And I'm having a connection error here. Can you guys still hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah. Hopefully we can regain our signal back here. But anyway, that's really all I wanted to announce, and that is that we have service this evening, and then we'll have a service Monday night. We'll also have our Wednesday night study in the book that we've been going through. And then Thursday night, Brother Mark and Brother Carl lead us in a fellowship time, fellowship call.
Yes.
And that, Yeah, do you guys have any final comments before we conclude this broadcast this morning?
Sure. You want to go first, Brother Mark? You can.
Sure. Okay, thank you, Brother Carl. I just praise God for you, brothers, Brother Larry and Brother Carl, and everyone who's listening. I recall that Brother Ashley Kenny from Australia said he was going to the Philippines at this time. And so I would ask everyone to say a prayer for a safe journey for Brother Ashley Kenny from Australia back to the Philippines and back again. And took the first step of getting ready for April by calling Brother Matt in Hawthorne the other day. I just praise God. I am so looking forward to meeting everyone face to face. I am so looking forward to it. And I just praise God for this wonderful harvest field that we can do it over the airwaves, so to speak. And I just praise God for everyone. I pray that God would meet you all at the point of your need, whatever that may be, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to just say real quickly regarding verse 24 again, this is our salvation here is described. And it is, and we're clearly told here, all right, that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. This is his work, not ours, and we dare not put our hands to it. And if you notice here, it says to bring in everlasting salvation. So not only are we're taught salvation is of the Lord on behalf of his elect, and that it's an everlasting salvation, all right, that nobody shall ever pluck us out of his hand, all right? And, like Brother Larry was saying a while ago, whenever the angel calls Daniel beloved, we're all beloved. God is not a respecter of person. God loves all of his elect in Christ, and there's not levels of love. You are either in Christ and presented holy and blameless with the righteousness of God, or you're not. And all of his elect, just like Daniel here, are beloved by God. And when I was thinking about that a while ago, I was reminded of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 and 2. And I absolutely love the 40th chapter of Isaiah. It's one of my favorite chapters in the book of Isaiah. And I just want to read it real quickly. It says, chapter 40, verses 1 and 2, King James Version only, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. And cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So by the Lord's hand, his strong hand that we read about in Daniel chapter 9, verse 15, and now, O Lord God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand. All right, this is his hand, all right, that has saved us. It is his hand, and he speaks comfortably to us. Despite of all of our wicked ways, he speaks comfortably to us, whenever he looked away from Jesus Christ on the cross, he forsook his son, and he'll never forsake us. Because he looked away from Jesus Christ and forsook him, he'll never forsake his elect. And we're just so blessed to know that this morning, and salvation is of the Lord, and thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for all of us. And I'd just like to say on behalf of my wife and I that we love all you guys out there listening, and we love you, Brother Mark Kennedy, and Brother Larry, and Brother Mark Phillips, and Sister Rosette, and we thank God for all of y'all. And I'll just close with a quote by Martin Luther, peace if possible, and truth at all costs.
Well, thank you very much for those sentiments, and I also want to let everyone know that we were joined by a number of other people on Facebook, Paul Rosana, Nina Jamariano, Kalia Jatt, Efi Bishop, Mark Ivey was with us. He's live on the Sea of Galilee right now.
Wow.
And
awesome.
Yeah. Leon, Julie, Stephen Sarker, E.P. Bishop, And also we got messages from Olo Duncan, and they were blessed by the message this morning. Gedala Yasudapan, and he asked for our prayer. He's suffering from sickness this morning. And we also were joined by a brother from Africa this morning who said it was such a wonderful thing to be with us in our service. So I wanted to encourage you all that we did have a good group of people. They didn't all show up on the because of the poor connection, but I was able to get their messages. So I'm thankful for that, and I just looking forward now to this evening where we can continue in the things of the Lord. God bless everyone. And with that, I'm going to say have a good afternoon, and we'll see you this evening.
Amen.
Amen. God bless.
Yes.